cybersecurity labeling, a single network future, all-in cable pricing, a new EAS code for missing persons, and raising the bar on internet speeds, all on the March Commission agenda. Cesar Guell submits stacks of paper forcing the Enforcement Bureau to say, whoa, hold on here. All of that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, Peachy Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, February 22, 2023. The FCC has announced their agenda for the March open meeting. The FCC will consider a report and order in PS Docket 23-239, which would start a voluntary program to create cybersecurity labeling for wireless consumer Internet of Things products. This includes items like smart speakers and connected doorbells. It would involve a U.S. cyber trust mark and a QR code linking to a product registry. The label is intended to assure consumers that the device meets certain cybersecurity standards. The FCC will consider the draft 2024 Section 706 report, which, if adopted, would raise the speed benchmark for advanced telecommunications capability, which is used for several federal and state programs. The current benchmark, adopted in 2015, is 25 megabits per second downstream and 3 megs upstream. If adopted next month, the standard would be increased to 100 megs downstream and 20 megs upstream. The report also sets a long-term goal of 1 gigabit per second downstream and 500 megs upstream. The FCC will also consider a report and order that would establish a new domestic regulatory framework that would enable collaborations between satellite and terrestrial service providers to provide connectivity directly to consumer handsets using spectrum previously allocated only to terrestrial service. Think of it as a cell tower in space. This technology would permit expanded coverage to a subscriber in remote and underserved areas and increase the availability of emergency communications. The FCC will consider a report and order in MB Docket 23-203, which will require cable and satellite providers such as DirecTV and Dish Network to provide single all-in pricing on consumer bills and in promotional materials. Currently, the prices that you see advertised for these services do not include certain required add-on charges, sometimes called junk fees. These fees can include broadcast fees related to retransmission consent agreements and fees for regional sports channels. Finally, the FCC will consider a notice of proposed rulemaking that will add a new event code to the Emergency Alert System, MEP, which will be used for public safety providers to inform the community of missing and endangered persons. According to the National Crime Information Center, in 2022, there were approximately 187,000 adults that were missing or endangered that do not meet the criteria for an Amber Alert, which is used for child abduction, or the Silver Alert, which is used for those over the age of 65. The open meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 14 at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time and will be streamed at fcc.gov/live. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel announced on Tuesday that the FCC will relaunch its Consumer Advisory Committee. The committee will focus on consumer issues, including artificial intelligence. The committee will cover issues such as the implication of emerging AI technologies on consumer privacy and protection, and how AI can help protect vulnerable populations from unwanted and illegal calls. The first meeting of the new committee will be held on April 4th. The Media Bureau is asking for more comments in MB Docket 22-405, the HD Radio Power Boost proposal. This notice was as a result of a request for clarification filed by the National Association of Broadcasters and Xperi. In the petition, they state that they have, quote, identified an important ambiguity that requires clarification regarding the maximum operating power of a digital FM signal. According to NAB and Xperi, the current notice of proposed rulemaking and past FCC decisions considered only the power level of the primary MP1 hybrid service mode of operations, and that HD radio is not just limited to the MP1 mode. The FCC has authorized extended hybrid modes that increase the number of digital subcarriers by filling in the gap between the MP1 digital sidebands and the main analog carrier. NAB and Xperi also want the FCC to incorporate a reference in the rules to the National Radio Standards Committee NRSC 5 standard. Because it is unusual for the commission to incorporate outside standards into the rules, the FCC is looking for alternate means to incorporate the proposed clarification directly into the rules. The FCC is also asking commenters if the changes proposed by NAB and Xperi will increase the potential for interference to FM broadcast facilities on first adjacent channels. They even ask whether the commission should keep limiting digital power to 10 dB below carrier, which equates to 10% of analog power, or if higher power levels should be considered. The comment deadline will be set in the future after publication in the Federal Register. Thank you for joining us on FCC Today, the podcast where we bring the Daily Digest to life. Look for this podcast on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please visit the channel, like this video, and hit that notification dinger to be informed of updates. FCC Today is also available through major podcast providers and on the web at fcc.today. YouTube channel subscriptions are important to us as it will allow us to provide better things for you in the future. Thank you for your support. The case of Antonio Cesar Guell continues. On January 29, the Enforcement Bureau filed a second motion to compel Guell to produce documents that it requested back on October 6. Enforcement claims that they have not received a complete and properly formatted set of responsive documents. In November, December, and January, the Bureau states that Guell produced a large number of documents that were not numbered, missing email attachments, and may have included apparently privileged communications that were not identified as such. In the January submissions, enforcement claims that the document production fails to indicate for each document which item the document is in response to, and that other submissions included production numbers that do not correspond with previous corresponding numbers. In January, enforcement stated that Guell provided over 6,000 pages of documents, but did not identify which of those documents are newly produced. Administrative Law Judge Jane Halperin has granted enforcement's motion and has ordered Guell to properly identify the privileged documents and to provide a cross-reference chart to clearly show which documents are for which items. Guell has been given until March 14 to comply with the order. On February 7, the FCC adopted the fourth report in order in MB Docket 98-204, which reinstates the filing of FCC Form 395B, the Equal Employment Opportunity Workplace Composition Report. The FCC suspended this requirement over 20 years ago. This report collects race, ethnicity, and gender information about a broadcaster's employees. The reporting will be done on an annual basis and only applies to licensees of commercial and non-commercial full-service AM, FM, and TV stations, as well as Class A TV and international broadcast stations with five or more full-time employees. Low-power FM and LPTV stations are not required to file EEO reports. This item was adopted by the Commission with a 3-2 vote, with Commissioners Carr and Symington dissenting. In his dissent, Commissioner Carr takes issue with the publication of each licensee's race and gender information, noting that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 requires the government to keep this data confidential when it is collected by the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. Carr continues that by publishing a race and gender scorecard for every TV and radio broadcast station, the FCC is caving into activist groups who have worked for years to persuade the federal government to publish this type of data about individual businesses. More information about the implementation may be posted at a later time. We do feel that this action will likely go to reconsideration.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It's also available on Podbean, TuneIn, Apple, iHeart, and other podcast providers. For up-to-the-minute action at the Media Bureau and throughout the agency, visit our website at fcc.today. REC Networks, always on at recnet.com. For assistance with LPFM full service and FM translators, contact REC Networks at 202-621-2355. For now, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist, wishing you a good day from Riverton.
REC.